Get ready, because you're now listening to War Cooler Talk. Covering everything sports and sports news. From the NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, the pros, the collegiate level, and everything in between. If it's about sports, then we're about it. So keep it locked to the absolute coolest podcast. Now, your hosts, Nick Frazier and Marcus Fitzpatrick.
Oh, let's go. Let's
go. Welcome to the Water Cooler Talk Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. The coolest podcast in your ear. My name is Nick Frazier. And the other person you hear him or you see him, tell him who you are, boss. Man.
Is Marcus Fitzpatrick. Let's go, let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back around the water cooler, giving our perspective on sports, man. We missed last week, but it's okay, though. We back this week, man. How you feeling, Marcus? How you feeling?
I'm ready to turn up, man. You ready?
Man, yeah, man. It's a lot of stuff that happened this past week in sports, man. It's a lot of stuff we can talk about, but we're going to talk a little bit about the NBA play-in that's coming up. I think it's happening. Well, we record this on Tuesday, so I think it's happening tonight. We're going to talk about Dawn Staley. We're going to talk about Caitlin Clark in the WNBA draft and things, stuff like that. And we're going to talk a little WWE, a little wrestling. See what that's about, you know, WrestleMania. Man, I kind of hate that I missed it last week, man, because, oh, man, WrestleMania 40, the biggest WrestleMania.
It was spectacular, bro. The Rock.
He's not The Rock. He's the final boss. Mama Roots. And the final boss. That's who he is. Nah, man. But, man, we think we got a great show for y'all tonight, man. We also going to talk a little bit of a little NFL free agency as well, too, man. A little transfer portal. So, man, stick around, man. Hope y'all enjoy it, man. Y'all better get ready. Marcus, are you ready?
Let's get it, bro.
Man,
let's get
when it. You hear the crowd noise, you know what that means. That means it's time for us to get to the game. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what comes first. It's time for us to move to the first quarter. Let's go.
It's now time for the first quarter.
Man, it feels good to be back around the water cooler talking sports, man. Thank y'all so much for rocking with us, man. Before we get started, man, make sure y'all subscribe, like, and share. Use the hashtag WCTPod, man. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at The Water Cooler Talk. And if you're still in them Twitter streets, they call it X now. Follow us at CoolestPod23. And on Facebook. Man, I'm hearing my echo a little bit. But hopefully, get some of that gain. Turn some of that gain down. And if you're following us on Facebook, follow us on Facebook at The Water Cooler Talk Podcast on Facebook. And if you listen to us on your favorite podcast player, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, man, make sure you like, rate, and review the podcast, man. It helps us out. Helps us move up in the rankings so other people can hear us, man, and see us and experience what we do around here at the Water Cooler Talk Podcast, man. We thank y'all so much for rocking with us, man. Let's go ahead and get into it, man. The NBA play-in.
Yes, sir.
If I'm not mistaken, we record this on Tuesdays. It comes out on Wednesday. The NBA play-in is tonight. These are your games. These are the games that you got going on. Well, not all of them tonight, but these are your play-in games.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, you got two tonight, two tomorrow. So these are your NBA play-in games. All right.
Let's get it.
On the Eastern Conference side, you have the 76ers facing the Miami Heat.
That's going to be a good one.
And you got the Atlanta Hawks the Chicago Bulls facing the Atlanta Hawks.
That's going to be another good one. The Eastern got two good ones.
All right, who you think winning out of the 76ers and Heat? Who you got between the 76ers and the Heat?
Man, I don't want to bet that game. I don't even, because Jimmy Butler ain't gonna lay down like no chump.
Of course not. Let me explain how it goes to the people. So the 7 and 8 seed are the 76ers and the Heat. The 9th and 10th seed are the Bulls and the Hawks. So the winner of the 7-8 game plays, I mean, the winner of the 7-8 game is becomes the seventh seed. The loser of the 7-8 game plays the winner of the 9-10 game. So the loser of the 9-10 game is automatically eliminated. Is how it works. So even if Jimmy Butler and the Heat lose their to the 76ers, they can still play another. They will play another game.
Still play another game and get in at the eighth seed.
To get to the eighth seed. So with that information, who you got winning the game?
I still think it's gonna be a great game, but like I was saying, I think with Joel Embiid returning to the starting lineup, I'm leaning more 76ers than Heat.
Okay.
And I know that the Heat will probably catch the Hawks or the Bulls on the back end and wear them out. So I think the 76ers is going in, and out of the Bulls and the Hawks, I think the Hawks might take it. But I think the Heat beat the Hawks.
Wait, so you got the Hawks beating the Bulls?
Yeah, I think the Hawks beat the Bulls.
Okay. All right. Okay then. All right.
Tell me who you got. Who you got coming
That's
out?
That's interesting. Lock it up. That's interesting. All right. So I got the 76ers and I got the 76ers beating the Heat.
Okay.
Is what I got in that game. I got the Bulls beating the Hawks.
Okay.
And then I got the Heat beating the Bulls. So I got the 76ers taking the 7th seed, and I got the Heat taking the 8th seed.
Heat taking the 8th seed. So we both locked. We just got.
Yeah, I got
Hawks.
Different ways.
I got the Hawks winning, and you got the Bulls winning.
I mean, I'm looking at the last 10 games. The Hawks 3-7 in the last 10 games. The Bulls 5-5. So
I feel you. You know, but I'm looking at LaVine playing.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen like the scouting report or anything yet. So I don't know. Okay. I don't know about that one. I don't know yet. I haven't looked at it just yet. I'll look it up.
I think Trae Young back though. Yeah, I know. Though. So I think them boys they can win in that game right there.
Is that game? Where is that game? Is it in Chicago?
Should be.
Yeah, that game should be in Chicago. Okay, cool. So that's what you got on the eastern side, Western Conference side.
This makes
sense to me, man. How the Pelicans weren't the Pelicans like the fifth or sixth seed like 3 weeks ago?
Just like I told you, that Sacramento thing was going to last. You knew the Pelican. You knew once the season emerged, all those people were going to fall to the way. So the teams that were going to fall, who were supposed to fall, I think OKC is the only team that I thought maybe would waver a little bit that exceeded expectation.
Yeah, they're the number one seed in the West, man. They got the number one seed in the West. They got the same record as Nuggets, but they got the tiebreaker. They're the number one seed in the West. Wow, bro. The Thunder are the number one seed in the West.
Sure. Wow. My boy going to win the MVP, like I said. Ooh, Shy.
I don't know about that, bro. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not saying he's not deserving of it, but we'll see. But let's get to these play-in games. So, the Pelicans and the Lakers. They just played this past weekend. So, now they're playing again in the play-in game. And I believe that game is going to be in New Orleans. And the Kings and the Warriors are playing. All right, so in that 7-8 game, who you got winning that 7-8 game between the Pelicans and the Lakers?
I have the Lakers beating the Pelicans.
I'm not mad at that pick. I can see that happening. Go ahead. Now, who you got between the Kings and the Warriors?
So, I feel like Golden State's experience in this situation will prevail in the end because I don't believe in Sacramento. I don't think they have enough superstars. I think they are still young and playing. You know, Sabonis plays out of his mind at times. DeAndre Fox has taken a step back from what I thought he could, you know, essentially be this year. So, you know, I would say the Warriors' experience with Steph Curry and, you know, Klay Thompson and, you know, Draymond going to come play ball in big situations. Then you got Kuminga coming.
Yep.
So then you got Wiggins back with the team. So, you know, I feel like that experience right there will win that play-in game. Then you get to Golden State in the Pelicans. So that's the one I'm anxious to see.
I mean, I think I think if they play that game, I think the Warriors win that game.
I think the Warriors win that game as well. But I think that game will be very, very close.
See, that game, I'm gonna tell you this, man. Like, okay, so I'm looking at it right, man. In the last 10 games, the Warriors are 8-2. The Lakers are 7-3. The Pelicans are 5-5, and the Kings are 4-6. Like, the Warriors have been hot the past 10 games. They started playing great, like, at the right time. Like, they started playing really good basketball at the right time. Now, here's my thing.
The best basketball at the end of the year.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah, I think they play their best basketball at the end of the year. Now, here's my thing. Now, here's when it comes to seedings. Okay, here's when it comes to seedings. If the Lakers were to beat the Pelicans, they will become they will go in the seventh seed. Now listen to this.
Denver, right?
They will have to play Denver. Yeah. Do you think the Lakers lose that game to try to get to the eighth seed?
I've been hearing rumors because they want to play OKC.
Yeah. Would they rather play OKC or would they rather play Denver?
I would rather play OKC.
Of course.
I'd rather play.
That's what I'm saying.
So I wouldn't be upset if they bombed the game to get a easier competition. But do you really want to be in a must win against the Warriors?
Agree.
That's the question that I want people to understand. Like in a win or go home situation, I don't want to
go up against Steph myself Curry.
In that situation.
I'm not trying to go against Steph Curry.
I don't want to voluntarily put myself. If we get in that situation, all right, let's go strap them up, Brian, AD. Let's do what we got to do. D'Angelo Russell, and Austin Reeves, let's make plays. Let's get the dub. But I don't want to voluntarily just be like, well, I don't want to win the first game and just because I'm scared of Denver. And then end up playing the Warriors, and then Stephen Curry get hot in the fourth quarter. And then we on the outside looking in. So it's just really what you want to pick your poison and do.
Yeah, if you now, want.
If Sacramento win?
I don't think Sacramento win, though. I'm just going to be honest with you.
I don't think Sacramento win either. But if Sacramento win, all right, yeah, let's do it.
This is my thing.
AD, you better bring your lunch bag. I know you ain't never beat Sabonis in your career, but you better bring your lunch bag that day.
This is my thing, though. This is my thing. If they were to do that, I mean, you potentially, if that were to happen, let's say the Pelicans do win that game, and the Pelicans end up with the seventh seed. The Warriors, we both think the Warriors beat the Kings. That means the Lakers will play the Warriors for the eighth seed. That means one of the superstars, one of the faces of the NBA won't be in the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
Ha! So would you, okay, so this is the question. Would you rather have a Steph and LeBron playoff, or would you rather have just one of them in the playoff? And if you had to pick just one of them in the playoff, which one would you pick?
That's a different question. Now, would I rather have both of them in the playoff? Of course.
Nah, but okay, that's a great question. But here's the thing, though. If they do fail to the Pelicans tonight, I think they play tonight. If they do fail the Pelicans, if they do lose to the Pelicans, why I keep saying fail? If they do fail too, that's what I'm saying. If they do lose to the Pelicans tonight, and the Pelicans get that seventh seed, they got to play the Warriors.
Who would you rather have
in the playoffs?
I'm a Laker fan, so I'm biased.
Oh,
so
my God.
But,
oh, my God.
You know, that's just my fandom.
I'd rather have both of them in the playoffs.
No, I said I'd rather have both of them because I really want to see the continuous narrative of who would you rather take in this era, LeBron or Steph? Because if Steph get another one, is LeBron really who we think he is? But if LeBron get another one, is he not the GOAT?
No, he's not the GOAT.
See, now that's hate.
That's not hate. He's not the GOAT. Now we're going into a whole different conversation now of that stuff. No, he's not the GOAT.
He get a ring, bro. Come on, man. What are we saying?
He's not the GOAT. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's not the GOAT. No, he's not.
He's not now, currently, no.
And even if he wins another one, he still ain't the GOAT. Come on, man. Y'all, like, you know, we've already had this. We've had this conversation at some point in time, but I ain't going into that.
I'm a Jordan fan, but for you to win a ring as the leader of your team in year 21, that's saying something. What, he like 39, almost 40 years old?
Michael came back and played at 40 and averaged 23 points, if I'm not mistaken. So what's the difference? LeBron averaging 25 right now. 24
points. He played for the Wizards and got blitzed.
No, they... Oh, my God, man. This is the thing, though, man. This is what people fail to realize, man. Jordan almost took that Wizards team to the playoffs. If they would have had a play-in back then, that Wizards team would have went to the playoffs. Jordan played... Come on, man. Dude, come on, man. He was one game away from making the playoffs, bro. If they would have had a play-in, he would have made the playoffs. He would have made the playoffs then. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm going to leave it at that, man. It is what it is, man. Marcus, man, how you feeling, man?
I'm good, man. Happy to be back.
Happy to be back around the water cooler, man. We talking sports, man. Shout out to y'all, man. Thank y'all so much for rocking with us here at the Water Cooler Talk Podcast. Coolest podcast in your ear, man. Let's go ahead and let's move along. Let's keep this thing moving. Let's keep this game going, man. We headed to the second quarter. Deuce.
Now entering the second quarter.
All right, man. We about to head into the second quarter right now, man. And we're going to talk a little bit of college coaching. We're going to rank. We want to have a discussion of where coaching ranks. Where do coaches rank in their career, man? Specifically, we're talking about Don Staley at the University of South Carolina. As you all know, the Lady Gamecocks beat the Lady Hawkeyes. Yeah, congratulations. They beat the Lady Hawkeyes in the national championship game, a game that actually had, if I'm not mistaken, almost 18 million views. Four more million views than the men's national championship. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. Side note, I ain't even watched the whole the men's national championship game, man. That was like a boring game to watch, bro.
Because they kept feeding one person.
That game was boring to watch.
Once old boy got tired and he couldn't do nothing else, the game was over.
Game was so boring to watch, man. I was like, yeah, I ain't watching that. I'm done. But shout out to Dan Hurley and UConn. They back-to-back champions. Okay, back to that. Back to Don Staley. Don Staley and the Lady Gamecocks captured their third national championship. And now we want to know, where does Don Staley rank among the greatest coaches? Are we going just greatest women's basketball coaches, or are we going greatest college coaches of all time, men and women?
I think that'll be fair to do. I mean, not really fair to her to put her with the Jordan Wooden. So we'll just stay on the
female. You mean not fair? You mean not fair?
Jordan Wooden is like
Tar Vanderbilt is the most winningest coach in college basketball, men's and women's. I mean, she gonna lose it next year when Geno get four more wins. But still, though, I mean, she's the winningest basketball coach in college basketball history, men and women's. And people don't know Tara Vanderbilt. She's just retired as the head coach for the Stanford Cardinal women's basketball team. But where do you have Don Staley ranked? So we just going women's basketball. We're just going women's basketball.
Yeah.
Okay, women's basketball. Where do you have Don Staley ranked?
I have Don Staley currently ranked third behind Geno and Pat Summitt.
So you have her behind Pat Summitt?
Yeah.
Okay. I wouldn't expect that.
Let me hear your rankings.
I had a second behind Geno Auriemma.
So you got her over Pat?
Yeah.
What made you put her over Pat?
I got her over Pat Summitt. I got hold past something.
I said, what made you do? Like, I don't disagree, but you know, I want to know your reason for that.
Just how I felt at the time. I'm just gonna be honest with you. I'm just being completely honest with you. Just how I felt at the time. I just feel that she was probably a better coach, probably more of a player's coach than anything. Now, if you go on national championship wise, of course, you would probably have to go Pat Summitt, because Pat Summitt got 8 or 9. nine, yeah. eight national championships. And Don Staley only has three at the moment right now. But yeah, nah, man, I probably go Don Staley. Probably go Don Staley two, as I feel right now. Don Staley okay. two, Geno one, Pat Summitt three, Kim Mulkey four.
Kim Mulkey?
Yeah, man, Kim Mulkey. I don't care how y'all feel about her personally. The woman can coach basketball. She can coach basketball. Who you got before her then?
I'm just asking. Kim Mulkey at four?
She got four national championships. She won three at Baylor and one at LSU in year two.
True.
She got four national championships. She got four national championships. She always recruits great classes. Kim Mulkey does. She always recruits great classes. Now, do those classes stay together? Do they end up liking her as a coach at the end? We don't know. So, you know, it is what it is. But the thing is, you can't deny a woman can coach the game of basketball. She can do that. She can really coach the game of basketball.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, well, so I can't argue that. But Don Staley, I got Don Staley ranked two as I sit right now. And I'm going to be completely honest with you. It may just be the moment of the situation right now. But Don Staley got to be the hottest. She got to be the hottest coach in women's basketball right now. The hottest coach in women's basketball.
They say Kim Mulkey probably will be getting the highest paid. I mean,
she already is. She got the highest paid contract. I don't know what the details are, but I think that's already been inked and done. On that tip. You know what I'm saying? But man, no, but shout out to the University of South Carolina, man. Women's basketball team. University of South Carolina women's basketball team won their third national championship last week. Last week they won Saturday before last. They won their third national championship, man. Now, I'm gonna ask you this question.
Undefeated season though.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's an undefeated season. Undefeated national champions. I forgot to mention that. That is true. They did go undefeated and they were national champions, man. So this is my question. Is that the greatest team that you've seen? Is that Don Staley undefeated team the greatest team you've seen?
I think it was a lot of matchups in that played a lot, but nah.
What? Okay, so is that gonna say okay?
It doesn't beat that UConn team with Breonna Stewart that came in.
Four straight national championships.
I can't say that.
Okay, all right. I mean, but they didn't go undefeated,
didn't they? I thought they went undefeated one year.
I don't think they went undefeated. I don't remember if they went undefeated. Did they go? If they went undefeated, let me see. Did they go undefeated? We're looking this up as we talk because this is just something I just threw into the conversation. We weren't prepared for this particular part of the show. we're trying to determine did any of those UConn women's team go undefeated and win a national championship. All right. So from what I'm looking at,
like the longest winning streak or something.
From what I'm looking at, it says 94-95. They were the second team to go undefeated and win the national championship.
Man, they went. It says they have the longest winning streak of 111 straight wins. That started on November 23rd, 2014, and ended March 31st, in 2017. So They've been undefeated for a while.
They've been undefeated for a while. Yeah, you're right.
They went undefeated for a while.
You're right. They did go undefeated. And you know what? Kim Mulkey's Baylor Bears went undefeated too in 2012, and they won a national championship.
That was Brittany Griner, ain't it?
I think so, if I'm not mistaken. That was Brittany Griner and them team. Yeah,
she was knocking on you.
Yeah,
you're right.
I missed that one. But nah, man, that's, you know what? I gotta get it to you. Yeah, you're right. That Brown Stewart UConn team was something serious. Brown Stewart UConn. Yeah, team. I can't.
Man, they had like three first round picks, and they point guard win the first round. They small forward win the first round, and Brianna Stewart win the first round. That team was cold.
Yeah.
I think the next team to that would be the Maya Moore team.
Y'all know how I feel about Maya Moore, man. Maya Moore, girl, Michael Jordan. Y'all know how I feel about her, man. So that'll be dope.
She retired before her time.
Retired way before her time. I wish she'd come back and play.
Retired before her time.
But it is what it is, ladies and gentlemen, man. That's the end of the first half, man. Marcus, how you feeling, boss? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, bro. I'm feeling good. How are you?
I'm feeling great, man. So we both got Dunn Staley top three coaches all time as of right now. And she still got a long way to go.
You miss Mulkey.
She still got a long way to go.
I know she got three to your four. So it ain't no disrespect. It's just I feel like, you know, I give Dunn Staley the edge.
I mean, I don't think nobody will argue with you that. I don't think nobody arguing that with you. That's just how I feel about it. You know, that's just how I feel about it. But yeah, man, we both got Dunn Staley top three women's basketball coaches of all time. I think we both said Geno won. Geno did something. He did some special.
Of course. That goes without saying, bro.
Yeah, so it is what it is. Ah, that's the end of the first quarter, man. Y'all know what comes up next, man. Let's go ahead and let's head to halftime. Let's go.
Get on out your seats. It's halftime.
Hey, Mark, what you say to the people, man?
Man, roll the footage.
Dude, then go to Hollywood Media, and you'll be shining. From sports interviews, athletic highlight tapes, athletic photography, Hollywood Media will make you the star of all stars. Feel like a star on the most important days of your life, from college graduation to saying I do to your forever person. Let Hollywood Media make your event star-studded. Subscribe and follow on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. Hollywood_media and follow on Facebook at Hollywood Media with two A's. Hollywood. Yo, man, shout out to our guy DJ, man. Day one supporter of the Water Cooler Talk podcast. Man, we appreciate you so much for rocking with us here, man, in the Water Cooler Talk, man. Make sure you go mess with the people that mess with the Water Cooler Talk podcast, man. Follow on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at Hollywood_media and follow them on Facebook at Hollywood Media with two A's, man. Make sure you mess with him, man. Shout out to DJ,
man. I know, you're my boy.
Hey, man, we appreciate you, man. We got to get him back on the show.
Oh, yeah, you got to. Congratulations. My boy bought his father's house.
Congratulations.
He's doing big moves, big things.
Congratulations to him. That's what's up, man. All right, man, we're back. Man, we ain't have time right now, man. We got a little time to spill, a little time to chill. Hey, man, WNBA draft was last night.
Yeah.
And as expected, Caitlin Clark went number one overall to the Indiana Fever.
Who was number two?
Number two was Cameron Brink. She went to the Los Angeles Sparks.
That's Stephen Curry's god sister or something like that.
I believe so. Camilla Cardosa, she went number three to the Chicago Sky. Right? And that was a trade with Phoenix. That was a trade with Phoenix. Rekia Jackson went number four to the LA Sparks, a trade with Seattle. JC Sheldon, she went to the Dallas Wings. Aaliyah Edwards went to the Washington Mystics. And Angel Reese went number seven overall to the Chicago Sky, which was a trade from the Minnesota I'm about to say Timberwolves, but Minnesota Lynx.
Minnesota Lynx.
Yeah. And then Minnesota took Alyssa Pyle out of Utah.
Never heard of her.
Hey, man. But I want to give a shout out in the third round, man. In the third round, shout out to the Las Vegas Aces for drafting Angel Jackson. Y'all don't know who Angel Jackson is, but she is a center.
Okay.
Out of Jackson State University.
All right.
That's what I'm talking about.
HBCU's in the building.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So shout out to that, man. Hey, they saying this draft might be the draft that changed women's basketball. Now, they leaked the salary in the contract for Caitlin Clark. So apparently she's only gonna make in a 4-year total a little under $340,000.
I will go ahead and start our next segment then, because that rolls into what I wanted to talk about.
But it doesn't. We'll start it in a minute. We'll get to third quarter in a minute, because we ain't finished in halftime and stuff like that. We'll get to that. Man, I done lost my train of thought, man. God, to be more careful, man. God,
we'll talk about her contract, though. I would like to highlight that she made more of her NIL deals than she do.
True, she did. But the thing is, I was going to talk about something else besides that. I was trying to transition to something else, and I totally lost my train of thought from that. Speaking of which, we didn't get a chance to talk about this on the show. Your boy Stephon Diggs, no longer with the Buffalo Bills.
All right, thank you, Nick. Thank you for opening up that. Finally, he got what he wanted.
Houston dangerous, dog. Houston dangerous.
And I hope they look dangerous until he started crying about the ball.
What you mean? What you mean?
Act like you don't know. So he don't get his catches. Somebody will be. They will be in the HR.
It'll be an HR. Be like, hey, man, listen. I need
him. The quarterback will be in the HR. Mean like, look, man.
Hey, but yeah. Proud of him.
Hey, I'm proud of him. Hey, I'm happy for him.
Proud of him. He got to a situation where he wanted to get to, man.
So, question to you.
Go ahead.
Well, should we? I wait the post game to ask that.
Okay. All right. Cool then. That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Another thing that I wanted to highlight here in the halftime segment of the show before we start the second half. Auburn. Got in the transfer portal, Talia Scott. Auburn women's basketball team got 5-star Talia Scott in the transfer portal.
Okay.
She can ball. Scoring machine. I think she averaged like 23 points this past season at Arkansas.
Arkansas.
And now she's going to be on the plains shooting that thing. It's going to be dope. We got a scorer now. Also, John Calipari has left Kentucky and is now the head coach at Arkansas. How do you feel about that?
He's tired of failing.
No, that ain't what it is. I have a whole different perspective.
I'll tell you the truth. He doesn't like the new AD. Him and the new AD have been rumored to been in a lot of fussing matches back and forth and a lot of disagreements and stuff. So that's the reason why he's taking his ball and running to Arkansas.
It has something to do with it, too. But I'm telling you, in this game of NIL,
Arkansas got that money.
Money matters, bro. Hey, when you talking about Arkansas, you talking about Walmart money, and you talking about Jerry Jones money. That's what you talking about right there, man.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, hey. Jim Johnson. I'm telling you, man. Hey. Think about this, though. When the last time Arkansas has been great in football, and have you seen their stadium? Arkansas has a really nice stadium. Like, their football stadium is amazing. Money. That's what I'm saying.
Their alumni is nice.
That's what I'm saying. So, man, Arkansas got that money. But when you get a big-name coach like that to come, oh, yeah, it's going to attract with a resume like he has,
He's known for getting big name recruits anyway. So you just, you really just went and got the one who goes and gets the recruit.
Yeah.
All he really got to do is win. Like all the recruits he didn't touch, the only one he won with was Anthony Davis.
Yeah, won that championship with him. That's the only one. He had Shea Gildas. Bro, he had Boogie Cousins, DeMarcus Cousins. He had a lot of them, bro.
He had a lot. John Wall.
Yeah.
We can go on. He been pulling names. Drake.
Speaking of Drake, man. Well, we'll talk about that in the post game, man. All right, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for us to go ahead and move to the second half right now, man. The crowd is ready. The teams are ready to go. It's time for us to go ahead and get this thing popping. Let's go ahead. Let's move to the third quarter. Let's go.
We've now entered the third quarter.
Hey, man, thank y'all so much for rocking with us here at the Water Cooler Talk Podcast, coolest podcast. And yeah, man, make sure you subscribe, like, and share. Use the hashtag WCTPod, man. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at The Water Cooler Talk, man. Follow us on Twitter, they call it X now, at CoolestPod23. And on Facebook, man, follow us on our Facebook page at Water Cooler Talk Podcast on Facebook. And if you're listening to us on your favorite podcast player, whether that's iHeartRadio, whether that's Apple Podcasts, whether that's Spotify, whether that's Google Podcasts, rate and review the podcast. Leave a comment, man. It helps us move up in the rankings so other people can see us, man, and experience what we do when we come around the water cooler and give our perspective on sports, man. Appreciate y'all so much, man. Let's go ahead and get to this third quarter topic, man. We kind of touched on it a little bit in the halftime, man. Caitlin Clark, the needle mover, the pulse, the one, the only. Is Caitlin Clark a change maker? Is this the catalyst? Is she the catalyst to actually make the WNBA, not gonna say on par with the NBA, but get it to where
move the needle?
She's the needle mover. But get it to where people are a lot more interested in the game and not see it as a summer league. What's your thoughts?
I feel like she has did that so far
in college basketball.
Yeah. So let me finish. So she has did that so far, but have we not seen this before with the Candace Parkers and the Maya Moores?
Candace didn't have this type of hype coming out of college, man.
I'm just saying the reason why she didn't is because the reason why we know who Caitlin Clark is because of the social media era.
Of course.
So you know what I'm saying, like, but from where we when in the era that we watched the game in, Candace Parker had a lot of hype coming out. She was supposed to move the needle. Maya Moore had a lot of hype coming out. Skylar Diggins had a lot of hype coming out. And if we want to drop recent names, we can go Sabrina Ayako. I mean, Ionescu.
Ionescu, yeah.
Yeah, Ionescu, I'm sorry. But if we want to go recent names, we can say her. So the thing about it is, can she sustain this popularity to keep bringing light to the game? And the thing about it is, the reason why she was so loved is because of rivalry. Who can she or who can the game piggyback off of and put in a rivalry?
Agree.
Are we gonna put her with Angel Reese in the Chicago Sky or like who will be her rival at the next level? So it's just like, and it has been rumored. Diana Taurasi said that her luck will change at the next level.
No, it won't. No, she can shoot.
You think so?
She can shoot. Hey, shoot or shoot. Hey, as soon as she get a little bit of airspace, it's over with. She needs a little airspace. She need a step. That's it. She can shoot. That's what the game has gone to now. It's a shooter's league, and she can shoot the basketball. And she can shoot from 40, 45 feet away from the basket, too. So she's a threat every time she step on the court. That's not going to change. And the fact that she works hard at the game, stuff like that. Now, that's not the problem, in my personal opinion, when it comes to these players, because to these young women playing the game, because they train just as hard as the men do.
Agreed.
The problem comes in, just like you said, the marketing of said players. Now, let's go back in history. Let's take a look at it. The NBA was failing, right?
Mm-hmm.
At some point, it just fell into the way to where the two most storied franchises in the NBA, the Boston Celtics and the Los Angeles Lakers. You get Boston gets Larry Bird, LA gets Magic Johnson, and that was your rivalry right there. That's what people came to watch and see. That's what people came to see. They came to see them two play. They came to see them two, who's going to win? Even when it came to the Converse, even when it came to the shoe companies, Converse was like, yeah. Magic, Bird. For some reason in this country, I don't say controversy. Well, it does. Controversy it sells. Does.
Say it. You,
you
got to
have, you gotta have, you got to have
NWA
somebody.
NWA is a prime example.
Exactly. You got to have, you got to have like some type of competition that make people want to watch. People want to be like, oh, snap.
You got to sell the ticks. It's about selling the ticks. And
exactly.
When, and when you get controversy, you sell ticks. No, you,
exactly.
It's just like watching a fight online. You
exactly.
Don't get a million views off
exactly.
A fight online.
Exactly.
Before you get some off some positive.
Yeah, I mean, it's said marketing. Said marketing, and if the WNBA played this correctly, I would have figured out a way to get New York. I mean, either New York, Los Angeles, or they got to find a way to get a team in Chicago, or some. A team in Miami or something like that, or something like that. I would have found a way to get New York. Well, Breonna Stewart is in New York right now. So that team is IS school is in New York.
Yeah.
Some kind of way. Los Angeles would have been the number one pick.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
You gotta get either her or Angel Reese to LA.
You got to. You gotta
got,
get your stars.
For the game. For
you
the game to
have
be,
to get your stars. You have to get your stars into the markets that people watch.
Yeah.
She's in Indiana. Indiana sold out. They sold out of all of her jerseys in what, an hour or something like that. They're out of the 40 games that they playing next year. I think 35 or 36 of them are going to be national televised. But the thing is, don't nobody really too much care about. And this is no knock against Indianapolis because Indianapolis is a great town. I've been there plenty of times. It's a really great town. But it's cold, and don't nobody really want to go to Indiana all the time. It's in the Midwest. Nobody really want to go to Indiana. The same thing. Who want to come to Alabama? You know what I'm saying? Who want to go to Mississippi? Like, when you go on vacation, do you be like, well, hey, guess what, man? I'm going to Alabama. Unless you're going to the beaches. Or, hey, man, I'm going to Mississippi.
You can say you're going to Biloxi.
Unless you're going to Biloxi. Like exactly. You know what I'm saying? You don't say you're going to Mississippi. You say, I'm going to Biloxi. Yo, I'm going to Biloxi. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to Biloxi, man. I'm going to Biloxi. You ain't saying you're going to Mississippi.
I'm going to Biloxi.
You know.
Hey, Biloxi is a whole separate.
It's, you know, it's a whole separate thing by itself. You know.
Hey, when they go, I'm going to Mobile. I'm going to Orange County.
Hey, yeah, I'm going to Orange Beach. I'm going to Orange Beach. I'm going to Gulf Shores, Orange Beach. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. Like when you think about it, Stephen A. said, I'm not wrong. I'm just being honest, true. Like Stephen A. said it. Well, he says it all the time. He'd be like, would you rather be in Denver for the NBA finals, or would you rather be in Miami for the NBA
finals?
In
Miami, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He says it all the time. At some kind of way, I would have made it to where Los Angeles got a number one pick, and Caitlin Clark would have been in Los Angeles. Go ahead.
All right. So you, like, and I agree with your point. So we know the marquee franchises in the NBA, which the Knicks, the Lakers,
Celtics,
Boston Celtics,
yeah,
and probably one more, and now the Warriors, if you really want to,
The Warriors, and of course,
the Bulls and the Warriors. All right, historical franchises. So what teams in the WNBA outside of the Sparks would you say are
the Aces?
Historical franchises.
Well, they're not historical, but I can't say historical, but because they are a new franchise, but right now the team to beat, the Aces. And if you want to go historical, you can go Washington Mystics. Washington Mystics in DC.
Okay.
They that's a historical franchise. New York Liberty. Is a historical franchise. I mean, stuff like that. I mean, you got to look at this, man. You got to figure out.
I'm just thinking about, like, places she could have go. She could go.
She could have went.
She could spin the rivalry.
Washington, D.C., nation's capital.
Yeah.
That would have been perfect. It would have been perfect. You know what I'm saying? But I also understand the.
So you can't. So, all right. So, in a perfect world, Angel Reese go to Washington. Caitlin go to L.A.
Nah, I'm gonna put it like this. If you were to match it personality wise, like it happened out with Magic and Bird personality matched perfectly with Boston, and Magic's personality matched perfectly with LA. If you were to do it that way, Angel Reese should be in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And I think Caitlin Clark, her personality matches with Indiana, but Indiana is not a marquee place. She should be in Washington. She should be in D.C. Okay. If you ask me.
Okay.
But because they didn't have a top pick and Caitlin was the number one prize, I would have found a way to get the Spark. The Sparks would have had the number one pick. I would be like, hey, we got to get this marquee player in this marquee market right here. Something. I mean, that's just how I see it, man. You got to get the marquee players in the marquee markets because that's what people want to watch.
That's what pushes the needle completely, because the thing about it is, like we were discussing at halftime, she's making more off her NIL deals than she will in her contract.
Yeah, so, I think she signed her apparel deal with Nike. I think she can make more money with Nike than she will off her contract.
So for you to get to what you need, like I seen my B Sharp, my homeboy from the Sharpshooter podcast. You gotta get TV coverage. You gotta sell tickets. You gotta have people tuning in to watch the game. And the thing about it is, us as fans, we have to do our part, but they also have to keep putting out things that we want to see.
Exactly.
You have to bring the viewer to you as well. As,
exactly.
Because the thing about college this year, they gave us what we wanted to see. And you've seen when people got what they wanted to see, they came to
and they watched it.
With the WNBA, you got to get those games and put those games, the games that everybody want to see, in everyone's face.
You got to
prime time. Primetime TV deals. You know what I'm saying? Even with the Fever, like even with Indiana Fever, you gotta make them on opening night see Chicago or on Christmas
Day. It should be the first game should be the Chicago Sky versus the Indiana Fever.
Exactly.
That should be the game.
And it gotta be ESPN primetime.
That should be the game. I mean, literally, you watching Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston versus Camila Cardosa and Angel Reese. That's it.
That's prime time.
Nobody else on the other teams, nobody else on the rest of the teams matter. It is Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston in Indiana versus Camila Cardosa and Angel Reese. That's all that matter. We want to see that. That's it.
On opening night.
Opening night.
That's how you boost your brand, right?
Exactly.
There.
Exactly. Also,
opening night, you have to have the Aces versus
the Liberty. After the Fever in Chicago game, it need to be the Aces versus the Liberty.
Thank me later.
I'm telling you, man. I was sitting down and watch that game. It's not like these women can't play, because they can. They've been able to play for years. It's been the marketing of the game, man. You got to market it better. You got to market it better. And I'm gonna be honest with you, a lot of that was a little bit of discrimination against women's sports as well too. A lot of it was, but these women can play, and I think this is where NIL helped, in my personal opinion. This is where NIL helped in the women's game, because if you notice, a lot of the women's basketball players were some of the highest paid players on campus, so they stayed in college longer and they made a name for themselves in college instead of trying to jump to the WNBA to get that little money that they were going to get. Now they basically made a lot of money in college to where this little contract they're going to get over the next 4 years ain't nothing compared to them. So now with them staying in college longer, it built those names up a little bit. It built those personas and those brands up some. So now people be like, okay, let me get over here and see what happened. But the WNBA has to do their part as well too. They gotta figure out a way.
That's the thing. That's my point, what I was trying to make earlier before we get up out of here. We seen the Candace Parkers. We seen the Maya Moore. When they got to the WNBA, we seen their accomplishments.
Yeah.
We didn't see the games because they did not market it. They did not put it in our face to the point that we wanted to see it.
I'm gonna be completely honest with you. I missed the whole WNBA season one time. I forgot they were playing.
A plethora of times.
I forgot they were playing one time, man. Last season I watched. I didn't really start by watching women's. But I watched because of Maya Moore, of course, because I love Maya Moore. But I didn't really start watching back until Breonna Stewart. Probably, I think her third year in Chicago. I mean, in Seattle is when I was watching that. And I was like, oh, man, Breonna Stewart can ball. And then, for real, when Asia Wilson got to the league and she went to the Aces, and I was like, oh, man, she a problem. But now, bro, hey, all I'm saying is WNBA, do your part. Do your part, WNBA. Market these women right. And when you market them right, that's how you get more sponsors. And that's how the league gets more TV money, and you can pay these women more. Pay them more, man. Market it right. Let's go. Oh, also, the WNBA needs to expand their teams, so they need more than 12 teams.
Yes. Yes.
They need more than 12 teams. Yes. They need to figure out a way to get a team in Miami. They need to figure out a way to get a team. Do they got a team in Texas? I don't even think they got Dallas. Yeah, they got a team in Dallas. They need to figure out a way to get a team in Houston. They need to figure out a way to get a team in Golden State. They need to figure out a way to get a team. Say it again. Go ahead.
Just say wherever all the big time NBA teams that they need to have a shadow WNBA team.
Definitely Miami, Houston, Golden State. Them three cities need a WNBA franchise. That's all I'm gonna say. It is what it is. Ah, it's the end of the third quarter. Marian Marcus, how you feeling?
I'm good, bro.
Y'all know what time it is. It's time to move to the fourth because we ready. We ready for y'all.
We have now arrived at the fourth quarter.
Hey, man, we in the fourth quarter right now, Doubt. Yeah, Doubt, we in the fourth quarter right now, Doubt. And I'm feeling very oozy right now, Doubt. That's how I'm feeling. I'm feeling oozy. Feeling oozy right now, man. Y'all, man, listen, man. I'm so excited. Marcus said he put this topic in here. He proposed this topic because I could talk about this topic for 20 minutes straight if I wanted to. I could. But we're going to talk about favorite WWE era. Now, for those of y'all that have not followed wrestling in a while or haven't watched wrestling at all, there have been areas of WWE back when it was the World Wrestling Federation up until now when it's the WWE. You had the Ruthless Aggression era. You've had the PG era. Now we in this era that we don't know what it's called. We're just going to call it the Paul Levesque era until they come up with a cool name for it. And, of course, we had the Attitude era. Marcus.
Yeah.
Your favorite WWE era. Shoot.
It's between... I'm going back and forth between the Attitude era and the Ruthless Aggression.
What?
I'm trying to see...
What?
Which one. Yeah, for me. I'm really going... The Attitude there, but the Ruthless Aggression era got John Cena, but the Attitude era, you know, it was highlighted off Stone Cold. I'm going to Attitude era because you got to actually see more like blood, and that's before they tried to censor it so much. I'm going to go Attitude era, man, for me.
Wow.
I'm gonna go Attitude.
I agree. I'm just making it a dramatic. I agree. Listen. You had before the Attitude Era, you had the superhero era of WWE. You know, take your vitamins, and you'll look like me, brother. You know, Stone Cold Steve. I mean, I'm not Stone Cold, but Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
Yeah. But then. When Ted Turner came in and opened up that wallet and started having all those wrestlers come over to WCW and they was getting their butt kicked by WCW. Yep. Monday Night Wars. That's when. They went to the Attitude Era. Oh, man. And that's when you start seeing people like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yep.
That's when you start seeing people like Triple H. That's when you start seeing The Rock.
Yes, sir.
That's when you start seeing The Undertaker. That's when you started seeing
Kane.
And even before that, you had great wrestling because you had Britt the Hitman Hart, a.k.a. the Excellence of Execution. You had Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid.
Bulldog.
You had all these guys. The Attitude Era, they was fighting for their lives in the Attitude Era. They were fighting for their lives because they was getting their butt whooped every single Monday against WWC against WCW Nitro.
Yep.
Raw was getting beat
every week.
Raw was getting beat every week. Oh, Monday Night Raw was getting beat every week. But then it changed. Attitude Era came in. Probably, and I'm saying this, probably one of the greatest storylines in WWE history. Mr. McMahon versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. Oh! Oh, my goodness.
Time out. So you're gonna put the Stone Cold Mr. McMahon storyline over the Stone Cold and The Rock storyline?
Bro, what are you talking about? The Rock was part of The Rock ended up, listen, The Rock was part of the McMahon faction. He was part of the early Authority era.
I understand what you mean, but the storyline though.
Yes,
like,
that Rock. The McMahon Stone Cold storyline is right now. And this is a big statement for people that watch wrestling and that follow it on a big basis. That is probably the second greatest storyline in WWE history right now. And I'm gonna get to that in a second because you brought up the Ruthless Aggression era. The Ruthless Aggression era came off the heels of the Attitude Era. Because in the Attitude Era, you can get color. Now, getting color in wrestling terms, getting color means bleeding. That's what getting color means. You cut yourself, you can get color on TV. Back then, but after that, a lot of sponsors weren't gonna sponsor the WWE and things stuff like that. So they had to get away from getting color. So they got to the Ruthless Aggression era. That's when you started seeing people like John Cena. That's when you started seeing Randy Orton. That's when you started seeing Brock Lesnar. All those guys that started coming out of Ohio Valley Wrestling. That's when you start seeing the Ruthless Aggression era. Then it went to the PG era when a lot of people started watching because it started being censored back more towards people under the age of 18 and stuff like that.
Ooh.
I mean, it wasn't bad. It's just the fact that John Cena became a huge superstar in that PG era. Became a very huge superstar. But then off the heels of that PG era, heels of that PG era in 2011, 2013, that's when you start seeing Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns. That's when you start seeing those guys come in. And now we get to what I think, because I just made a very big statement by saying that Stone Cold Steve Austin, Mr. McMahon storyline was the second greatest storyline in WWE history. The greatest. The greatest storyline. As it is right now in WWE history, and it's still going on. The Bloodline. Acknowledge me. The Tribal Chief. This Bloodline storyline can literally go on for 10, 15 years if it wants to. Can literally go on for 10, 15 years if you want to. Roman Reigns, Tribal Chief, Jimmy Uso, Solo Sikoa. Well, Roman Reigns just lost the title to Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania 40, so he dropped the Universal title. Now, you got Tama Tonga, Haku's nephew, adopted son, coming into the Bloodline. We don't know if Jey Uso going to go back to the Bloodline, or if he going to team back up with Jimmy and fight the Bloodline. Roman Reigns out. He not on TV right now. He been running off TV for like the next couple of months. He might not be back till SummerSlam. Who's the Tribal Chief? Who's the Tribal Chief? Paul Heyman is the wise man, but you got Solo Sikoa over here calling shots like he the Tribal Chief? What's going on, man? Listen, man, this Bloodline storyline is probably the greatest storyline that I've watched in WWE history. You got to be in it to see it. And it's been going on since 2020. That tells you how good this storyline is. When you got The Rock coming back in to play the final... Listen to this. When you have Roman Reigns, at WrestleMania 40, it was supposed to be Roman Reigns and The Rock headlining. WWE Universe was like, what? How you have Cody Rhodes win the Royal Rumble back-to-back, and then he give his opportunity away to The Rock for them to headline it? And then now this storyline just blossomed into another way that you... Bro, I'm telling you right now, wrestling fans that have watched this, man, I'm telling you, man. This is the greatest storyline in WWE history right now. The Bloodline and anybody that goes up against them. Man, this is amazing. This is amazing, man. This is amazing. Amazing.
So you saying it's better than the Kane Undertaker?
Yes. Yes. Yes, it is. This That's Bloodline storyline, this blood, bro, the Bloodline storyline is so good. It has been going on since COVID. That was 4 years ago. It's been going on since March of 2020.
Brother, what's his name, went on for years as well.
The Bloodline storyline. If you have been watching this Bloodline storyline, the way it has gone off and the twists and turns of what you thought was going to happen and it didn't happen and something else happened.
Okay. All right.
Bro. That's how you just got the final boss, Rock. That's how you got a mixture of Hollywood Rock, The Rock, and now you got the final boss. Man, come on, man. Come on, bro. Come on, bro. I'm telling you, bro. This storyline, the Bloodline has that Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman have created. Bro, this Bloodline storyline is something serious. It is that good. And it's so good that Roman Reigns ain't even on TV right now. He off until probably SummerSlam. And the storyline still going with just Solo. Man, bro. this thing is amazing. I can't wait to see where this go. And the Bloodline storyline can literally go on for like the next 10 to 15 years if they want to.
Before we get up out of here, though, question. What do you rate this WrestleMania?
The greatest one of all time. The greatest WrestleMania of all time. Yeah. Yes.
Better than The Rock and Hulk Hogan.
Yes. Yes. Look at this, man. Look at this. For one, WrestleMania is two nights now. Rhea Ripley defended her World Heavyweight Championship against Becky Lynch. She beat Becky Lynch. Okay. All right. That was a great match. A lot of people said it wasn't a great match. Said it wasn't a great match because Becky didn't look herself. Becky had a strep. She had a strep throat and she had 102 fever out there wrestling. That was a great match. Okay. Sami Zayn, which was probably the match of the night on Saturday night, beat Gunther, who was the longest running Intercontinental Champion, and he beat Gunther. And Gunther was dominant. Even though I thought Gunther's reign as Intercontinental Champion was getting a little stale, it was still a dominant reign. Sami Zayn beat him. Nobody was expecting that. LA Knight versus AJ Styles. Man, LA Knight beat AJ Styles. Okay, let's get to it. Night one, you got The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes, who, if The Rock and Roman Reigns wins, it's Bloodline rules for the Universal Championship the next night. Rock and Roman Reigns wins. Bloodline rules next night. Bro, come on, man. Come on, man. And then the next night, Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes fight John Cena, The Undertaker, and The Undertaker and The Rock come out in the match, and Cody Rhodes still wins. Bro, the way the storytelling through it all has been great. It has been amazing. It has been, I'm not going to say without flaws. This has been the closest flawless storytelling in wrestling in a minute. All right.
This is for the short. So in the comments, drop your favorite era of wrestling and where do you rate this WrestleMania?
This WrestleMania was number one. Yes, number one. Rock, Hogan, that's cool. Stone Cold, Steve Austin, and Rock. The last time Stone Cold wrestled in the ring before he retired because of his neck and knees, it was great. But this WrestleMania, bro, Bro,
it did something to you, Nick.
No, this WrestleMania was just it was just great all the way through. It's just something about not having so many matches in one night and you telling the story. You having less matches, but the story of each match makes sense. Jade Cargill coming to WWE after she left AEW. Now you got Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair teamed up as a tag team, which I see one of them turning on each other because those are two legit superstars that can hold the women's championship. Man, it's a lot. I told y'all I could talk about this for 20 minutes, and we almost talked about it for 20 minutes, man. If y'all ain't watching wrestling, bro, and I know and I understand why a lot of people start watching wrestling, because it wasn't the Attitude Era type wrestling that you were used to seeing growing up as a kid. If you like storytelling, if you like following the story, if you want to see what happens, if you are interested in, it's just, if you're interested in great storytelling, Paul Levesque, aka Triple H, who's now the chief content creator officer of WWE, is doing a fantastic job. WWE creative is doing a fantastic job. It's amazing, man. It's amazing. Okay. I think, and I'm gonna let y'all know right now, they not sponsoring us, but Raw comes on Mondays at 7 p.m. and SmackDown comes on Fridays at 7 p.m. SmackDown comes on Fox and Raw comes on USA Network until January of 2025. Then they switch to something else. But go watch it. It is what it is. Ha! It's the end of the game, Marcus. How you feel?
I'm good, man. I'm glad you got that off, man. You know, my boy got to talk about that wrestling.
Yeah, man.
He schooled me on some things.
Sports, entertainment, psych, professional wrestling. Professional wrestling. It's dope, man. It's dope, man. It's a soap opera. It's my soap opera.
Yeah. It used to be. That's what I'm saying. But, you know, like you said, a lot of people start watching after a certain era.
Of course. And I completely understand why they did. I completely understand, because it was
do you choppy. Feel like more people start watching after the Attitude Era or the Ruthless Aggression Era? Because I start watching after the Ruthless Aggression.
Yeah, a lot of people start watching after the Ruthless Aggression Era because they started going towards PG and then they was pushing John Cena. A lot of people did not like that. But, you know, it is what it is. But John Cena's one of the GOATs. He's one of the GOATs. He's not the GOAT. Of course. He's not the GOAT. Yeah. He's the franchise, but he ain't.
So who's your GOAT?
Roman Reigns. The way Roman Reigns has held the title, and this bloodline storyline. Oh my God, I'm telling you, bro. God, it's great, man. Ladies and gentlemen, man, let's go ahead and let's move to the post game. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go.
It's time to shut down in the post game.
Hey, man, we in the post game right now, man. Thank y'all so much for rocking with us, man. Let's go ahead and let's get this quick conversation that I thought about while I was on my rant about WWE. Speaking of which, I got the Universal title belt coming soon, so it may be hanging behind me in the next couple of weeks. You're going to see it. And I got Damian Priest just won the World Heavyweight Championship. He won that off of Money in the Bank, right? No, he won the Money in the Bank contract. But Seth Rollins was the champion. Seth Rollins had to fight Drew McIntyre. He fought Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre won. And Damian Priest came out of that thing and cashed in the Money in the Bank contract and won. So I might have both of them hanging behind me in the next couple of weeks. So don't be surprised. I'm just waiting on them to get here, hopefully. Hopefully they'll be here. And they coming from overseas, but maybe they'll get it. So it is what it is. But, man, let's talk football, man. Let's talk a little bit of football for about 5 minutes.
All right.
Which quarterback has the most pressure to win this coming up season? You can only pick one because we only got 5 minutes. Which quarterback?
I would say most pressure to win.
Mm-hmm. Most pressure to win.
They got to win. I would say Lamar Jackson.
Ooh. It's a great pick. It's a great pick.
Because the addition to his team, I don't want to hear about losing to Patrick Quinn on the defense, even though he's a stud.
Mm-hmm.
You chose For me, y'all chose who y'all wanted. Y'all went Raekwon over Patrick Queen, so y'all made y'all statement. But the acquisitions on offense should be enough for him after winning MVP and having one of the best records in the AFC last year. Should be enough to push you and elevate you to get to the Super Bowl. Because the thing about it is Joe Burrow coming back. We all know what he going to do. Patrick Mahomes know what he going to do. The pressure from Josh Allen, he playing with house money because he doesn't have a true number one receiver right now. So that alleviates some of his pressure because he's playing with house money until they get him a guy to go to. So, and then you can throw Jalen Hurts up there with the pressure because he got to have a bounce back year. But for me, Lamar Jackson, you won MVP. It's taking the next step in bringing in a Super Bowl championship.
Not a bad pick. I'm going Joe Burrow.
Okay.
Joe Burrow. And I'm going Joe Burrow for the simple reason. Joe Burrow is the closest quarterback to Patrick Mahomes. If that makes sense to you all, Joe Burrow is the closest quarterback to Patrick Mahomes. And I've been saying it on this podcast, Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback of all time. But his kryptonite is a healthy Joe Burrow. I've been saying that. Joe Burrow got to win.
So Joe Burrow, Peyton Manning, or Eli? I'm going to let you sit on that.
This is the thing, though. How can you do that? Like they both, two of them won Super Bowls, and the other one didn't.
Because you said he's Patrick Mahomes' kryptonite.
He is Patrick Mahomes' kryptonite.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm saying we're talking GOAT kryptonite. Tom Brady, who was his kryptonite? Eli Manning.
Of course, you got a point. This is the thing. Joe Burrow has already beat. He beat him to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. He got to win the Super Bowl. It's not a matter of if Joe Burrow can beat Patrick Mahomes, because we've seen him do it, and we see him doing it on the biggest stage. Exactly, we seen him do it on the biggest stage. Now he got to win a Super Bowl. He got to win a Super Bowl.
That's how I feel about Lamar Jackson.
But see the thing is though, with even if Lamar has the weapons around him, do you still think they make it to the Super Bowl? Do you still think that team is built for with Lamar at quarterback?
It's time for him to elevate his game.
It's time for him to elevate his game.
It ain't about MVP no more. It ain't about nothing. It's about postseason performance for him at this point.
Agree.
He has to win.
I agree with you there. But yeah, I think another. I know we just said one, but you mentioned a bunch of them. I'm gonna mention one more person. A lot of expectation has been put on this young man with the offseason. Acquisitions. CJ Stroud.
The thing about him is
CJ Stroud. He has some expectations now.
He got expectations, but the thing, I'm not saying that they gotta win a Super Bowl.
I'm not saying they gotta win a Super Bowl either, but I'm saying they gotta win a playoff game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's their expectations. Lamar Jackson has to win the Super Bowl soon.
Has Lamar won a playoff game?
Barely. If he did, he only got one or two. You can count them on three fingers.
I don't even know if Lamar won a playoff game. Let me see. How many playoff games have Lamar won?
Once. He won one before this year, and then he won one this year.
He's won once in the playoffs. Three appearances. So he's 1-3 in the playoffs. Yeah, Lamar got to win. He got to win. He got to win the Super Bowl. He got to do something. He got to get to the AFC Championship game. That's what he got to do. He got to do that. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that, man. But I think CJ Stroud got some. I think the Texans got some expectations on them now. I think that defense is going to be great just because of who their coach is. But now you add Now you add Stephon Diggs there. You got Tank Dell. You got Joe Mixon at running back. I mean, they got all the pieces, man, to make a run, to make a real run. If you made a run last year in the playoffs with what they had on offense and that defense, and now you add a true number one receiver.
Yeah.
They got to, I mean, expectations. And I'm not sitting here saying they got to win the Super Bowl, but he got to at least win a playoff game. He got to win a division.
Win a playoff game. I agree.
He got to win a division, or he got to win a division, or he got to win a wild card. Something. It is what it is. Marcus.
Yes, sir.
You ready to do it?
Let's get it, bro.
Damn, this man yawning, man. He's sleepy. Ladies and gentlemen.
I had to work all day. Let's get it, though.
It's time for us to give out an award that everybody loves. But the person that gets it, oh, they hate it.
Give it up for the Water Boy Award.
Gatorade.
H2O.
Water sucks. It really, really sucks.
Well, Marcus, this week's Water Boy Award is going to a guy who is very prime. As a matter of fact, he's prime time.
Don't think that we didn't hear about you, Prime. We heard about them boys in the transfer portal. We heard the first day at open, you lost half of your O-line and half of your D-line. I want to know what's going on in Colorado, Prime. You said you know where to find me. Look like they ain't looking for you no more. And then I looked at the rankings after you tried to say that your kids was going to pull an Eli Manning. Your son was ranked number 9 on the top 10 quarterbacks in college by the NCAA. Right before, I think, Cameron Ward from who he played for now? I know he transferred.
He was at Utah.
Yeah. So right before Cameron Ward, so I'm wondering what he has a lot to prove this year. I didn't think he had that much to prove, but now it look like he got a lot to prove this year. So you saying that Travis Hunter and Shador would be like top 5 picks or top 3 picks?
Travis Hunter will.
I'm wondering where that will fall, because it looks like you don't have a problem protecting him again the way it's going.
Now,
and that's not good for draft stock.
Now, granted, they did bring in 5 offensive linemen, but they have no depth behind them. So they're going to play the whole game?
Well, offensive linemen almost play the whole game anyway, but he ain't playing it for injuries.
That's what I'm saying. All of them. That's what I'm saying.
But the thing about it is, all right, he lost D lineman. He lost a 5-star cornerback he brought in the year before.
Kermani
so
McClain.
It's just like, he had problems rushing the quarterback. When Travis went down, his backup cornerback got ate alive last year. So it's just things that he needs that he's losing. And I just want to know, why are people leaving Prime? That's the reason why you're getting this Water Boy Award. What's going on in Colorado?
I have my thoughts about that. I ain't gonna lie.
Can you give me some thoughts real quick before we get up out of here? Yeah. Matter of fact, give us some water first while we sit back and listen to your thoughts.
Here are my thoughts.
No problem. We can listen to me.
Yeah. Here are my thoughts on that, man. I feel as if, and I could be wrong in this situation, it feels as if Coach Prime is doing a lot of this for 3 people on his team. Shador, Shiloh.
That's all it been about.
Shador, Shiloh, and Travis Hunter.
Yeah, that's all it been about from day one.
That's what it feels like to me.
From him leaving Jackson State, his move from leaving Jackson State, it, all it been about is putting his kids at the next level.
Which is not a problem. Which is
he was going to put him there.
This is the thing. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with progressing your children, because you want your children to be better than you were. I think every parent at some point in time want their children to be better than them. But the problem is when you become the CEO of a football team, of an organization like that, you can't just look at those particular people. You got to look at the totality of the whole team, the well-being of each player on that team. What's going to make them better in life? Because a lot of those players ain't going pro.
You know, well, at least he's being honest with him.
I mean, that's true.
I be watching his vlogs. He be telling them straight up.
Yeah, but what? But how do you mold them to go pro in something? Like, there's a commercial the NCAA put out. A lot of athletes go pro in something else other than sports. How do you mold those other guys to be professionals in something other than just sports and life in their career?
Well, like, the thing about it is,
how is he doing that?
No disrespect. The thing about that is, his job with doing that got a whole lot harder with NIL. It's hard to tell a kid who's
I agree with you there.
It's hard to tell a kid who's making that type of money how to run his life.
But the thing about it is, all those kids ain't making that kind of money, though.
But all the Showtime people are.
His children.
I'm just saying. And that's the, man, we all know that. But those the egos that you have to control. You're a big-time athlete. If me and you was on the team, people like us are just happy to be there, having a role on the team, you know, happy to play at this organization trying to get a championship.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, it's easy to manage those attitudes because they're just grateful to be there.
Yeah.
The ones who feels like, you know, who feel like it's a privilege for you to have me on your team, those are the egos that you have to manage. Yep. And usually now, in this day and age, those are coming with NIL deals. So it makes it way harder to manage. And a lot of times with coaches now, that's why I feel like strongly Nick Saban retired, because it's going to be very hard to control these kids. It's going to be very hard to mentor these kids.
Yeah.
Because if they're making enough money, you can't tell a kid that just turned grown who making $3 to $4 million how to move. They're not going to listen.
They're making more money than a running backs coach.
You know what I'm saying? They're not going to listen.
I agree with everything you said there. I agree wholeheartedly with everything you just said there, man. That made all the perfect sense in the world, and I agree with it. But, hey, hopefully everything works out to their favor, man. Marcus, what do you got to say to people before we get up out of here, man?
Man, shout out home team. We happy to be back, man. We miss y'all, man. Shout out my bro, Trill, Kyle, Tay, Freddie. You know the home team, man. Kendall, man, shout you out, bro. I heard you been listening, so. Keep listening, bro. We're going to keep bringing this fire.
Yes, DJ, sir.
Come back and holler at us.
Yes, sir.
And I wanted to do this publicly. Nick, I wanted to shout out your mom, you, and your grandma for being with me in my time of grief. I really appreciate y'all, man. You showed me that we were really family, and I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. Thank y'all.
Ain't no problem, man. We do what we got to do, man. We're there for everybody when we get a chance to, man. Thank y'all so much, man. As always, man, shout out to the home team, 334-46, Macon County, Tuskegee, man. We appreciate y'all, man. Thank y'all so much, man. Shout out to the University of South Alabama for giving me my degree. Man, I appreciate y'all so much, man. Shout out to my wife and my mom. I love y'all so much, man. Shout out to my family. Appreciate y'all, man. Love y'all, too. Hey, man, we back. We trying to stay on a regular rotation like we were before, but life happens sometimes. So we may miss a week, but please believe, when it's time for football season and everything to come back in around, we're going to be here every week. But, hey, man, we're going to do our best during this offseason to keep giving you content every Wednesday and keep it moving. But please believe, once football season pop in, we are there every Wednesday. And you're going to see us over there on Auburn Axe channel every weekend.
Yes, sir. Can't wait.
And it's going to be DC tight sports. Tight sports, DC Wolf. Oh, yeah. All of us going to be back. So y'all better get ready, man. You're going to see a lot of us, a plethora of Water Cooler Talk podcasts, Auburn Addicts, and Tight Sports, man. So it is what it is, man. Shout out to him, man. As always, man, before we get up out of here, man, y'all have a good one. Not better yet, y'all have a great one. Y'all be blessed, man. One love.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Water Cooler Talk. Make sure to follow us on our socials on Instagram and TikTok at Water Cooler Talk and on YouTube at The Coolest Pod 23. Also, make sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast player so that you never miss an episode.